Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I've got a lot of things to go through today, and we're going to include the interview that we did the other day with G. Edward Griffin. So let me kind of plow forward, because there's a lot of stuff, and some of it, I hate saying I told you so, because I don't like doing that, but I'm hoping, because it's not like this is just me. It's just not GR that is understanding and putting this stuff out here, but unfortunately, there really isn't anybody else. I know that this is resonating with you, but there's a lot of other people in the information industry, because there's a lot of conservative entertainers and so forth out there, but none of them are giving you the perspective on how dire our circumstances are. And as you know, you are listening to the only show that is maybe the most relevant show on the air. As a matter of fact, I can't think of another show that is actually providing the solution. There's nobody in academia that can actually say that this solution one is unconstitutional, we can't do it, or anything like that. As a matter of fact, the truth is, like with Dr. Vile and having him come on the show, Dr. Vile doesn't once say, hey, this is all unconstitutional, you can't do that, you're going to go to jail. What he does is he says, I don't like it, or I can't support it because of the effects of what it's going to do. It's going to take away the money that is being passed out to the education system. The federal government has no constitutional business in giving away your tax dollars to these higher education institutions, to these housing development programs. All of these things are over 80%, probably closer to 90% of the stuff they're spending money on is unconstitutional. Lots of people like to point at defense, and in the 2020 presidential race, they're going to be pointing at defense as a waste of a lot of money that we could be using for ourselves in a welfare state, an entitlement state, or however they want to pitch this. Fact of the matter is, that's unconstitutional. The defense is constitutional. We got to get the government into compliance, and we don't have a lot of time, and I'm going to get into that, so I don't want to waste any more time with this monologue at this point. The listen to number, if you want to listen and you can't stream or you can't get us on the air, is 605-562-4209. I know the Mueller report's out there. I know it's been released. And I'm here to tell you that the Mueller report is a nothing burger. It's a distraction. It may be feeding for the frenzy and the fanatical anti-Trumpers, Trumpers, and so forth. It is a distraction along with almost everything else that's going on. And I haven't heard anybody in the news cycle, and it's not that I spend a lot of time listening to anybody else, but I have not heard anybody talking about some really important constitutional violations that have been going on. And so let's get into some of that when we move forward. But as you know, I am going to be doing a focus on tech, not just social media, coming up. So hopefully we'll get to that probably next week. We need your help. There's no way we're going to be able to save the Republic with just GR's paltry little, amount of money I can spend on a monthly basis. So we need you to start helping somehow. And if you drink coffee, then I would just ask that you try Red State Coffee. Go get some of their grinds. Go get some of their coffee beans. In buying the product, you are helping us because this the sponsor is, you know, helping us. Another way you can help us, because I'm not looking to put any money in my pocket. I haven't put a penny in my pocket since the publishing of my first book. What we're doing is we're trying to save the Republic. Maybe after we can do that, if we can do that, I might pocket some of my book sales money. But we need the money to move this thing forward. And oh, once we get Republic Review moving, there's going to be other things that I have to do or I believe that needs to be done. Like, how do we dismantle the welfare state and move forward? How do we put an end to the self-licking ice cream cone we call the education system? How do we change our paradigms? And so those types of things, I believe, will need to be addressed. And so it's not like I'm going to go away right away as soon as Republic Review is moving forward. There are things that still need to be addressed that I need to then focus my money on and focus my efforts on as well. So it's not like I'm going to become rich or anything in scope of what we're doing here. There's no intent in doing that. My wife and I have been blessed, and we're in a position where, you know, we can do without a lot of different things. And so we're just really blessed. And I appreciate all of those of you who have already supported us. We do need your help, though, and there's different ways. You can financially support us with our GoFundMe campaign in Reclaiming the Republic, and you can also support us by just sending me an email and saying, hey, what can I do? How can I help? And we will get you pointed in the right direction and let you start leading in your state. This is going to be what we need to do cannot be done by a single leader. We need a lot of leaders, and it's 7,383 based on the last count of how many state legislators there are. That's how many leaders we need in the states to get this thing started and moving. We cannot look at Washington, D.C. as leadership for us. The nationalization of government is not the solution to a constitutional republic. The constitutional republic has to stand up as a republic and say, this is where we are, this is what we need to be doing, and this is how we need to get there. And all that process is identified within Republic Review. So again, it's not about money. It's all about leadership, and we need to get, you know, assistance somehow in leading, whether that be the financial support in traveling or getting you to stand up and so forth. Constitution Day. What are you doing? Are you making plans? It's coming up. It's September 17th. Get out there. Start making the Constitution relevant. Start bringing it to a higher visibility. Start making people kind of aware of the fact that, hey, that's an important document. More so than the Declaration of Independence, because it is the document that secures and protects our individual liberty and sovereignty. The Declaration of Independence did not and does not do that. So, as you know, there's no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers, which means that you and I are going to have to do it. So with that, let me take a quick drink there and let me just kind of move forward. I want to kind of get into the Logan Act, but before I do, let me plug J. Edward Griffin's Red Pill Expo. You want to be there. We're going to be talking to him when we come right back after the break. It's going to be kind of, I'm breaking my standards. We're going to be talking for about 20 some minutes going forward into what we need to do. And so I'm hoping that you tune in and listen to this whole interview, because G. Edward Griffin is a great orator, and I just love listening to him. And so listen to what he's talking about and how this all started and why this is important in getting involved. Are you a leader? Do you want to continue to lead? Because right now we're being rammed with all sorts of agendas that people are managing, and we don't need managers. What we need are leaders in breaking away from these agendas. So with that, June 7th, 8th, and 9th, Hartford, Connecticut is where you're going to find the Red Pill Expo this year. And so you need to get there. I'm highly recommend that you go there. So let me get into this Logan Act. If you didn't know, Pelosi is now traveling in Europe, and she's on her with her entourage of despicables, not deplorables. These are despicable people. They're out there actually violating the Logan Act. I've got less than 1 minute to get into this. So when we come back after the G. Edward Griffin interview, you'll actually get more details on this. But the Logan Act, the whole intent of this was the federal government identified that only certain people have the authority to actually negotiate foreign trade and so forth. You know who that is? That is the Office of the President and the President's Executive Department, the State Department, where they have the ambassadors and embassies, you know, emissaries and so forth. And so I'm here to tell you that Congress has no authority to negotiate with any foreign entity. And if you look up what Pelosi is doing, Trump needs to grab her with a shepherd's hook. Yeah, since it's Easter time, right? We try to keep the season, you know, well up front and prevalent. We're at a hard break, so we'll talk about that shepherd hook and what Trump should be doing to Pelosi and all of these other, you know, former administrators. But we're at a hard break, so we'll get back to this when we come back after our interview with G. Edward Griffin. Stay tuned. It's going to be a great one. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And folks, we have G. Edward Griffin on the line with us. And I really appreciate your time, taking some time out to talk to me about your upcoming Red Pill Expo. But before we get into the upcoming Red Pill Expo, Ed, can you give us how this kind of started? Because this is going to be your third year of Red Pill Expo, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's right. Number three coming up in June.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what was the genesis behind doing this?
Well, that's a good question. I know we don't want to take too much time with it, but it's an interesting story, I think, to anybody who, like you and I, are concerned with bringing about constructive change in the world. We get to a point where we realize that things are not going well, to put it mildly, and some of us have this crusader gene that kicks in, and we decide we want to do something about it. And so we spend a lot of time getting informed. We read everything. We listen to everything. We travel around. We attend seminars. We listen to recordings, watch documentaries, have conversations and all that. And we get to be to the point where we want to start sharing our information. And then we want to start organizing people of like mind so that we can develop some kind of influence in our community so we can bring about constructive change. All of this, it happens over a period of, it depends on individual, but for me, it took about a year and a half to get from ground zero up to the point where I really wanted to do something about it. And so having said that, we get to the point where we get organized. We get a small group of us, of like-minded people, and we think, okay, we're going to go out and change the world. And we realize very soon that, okay, just a few of us, maybe a dozen or a couple of dozen of us, are not enough. You can't do it alone. You need to have help. You need other people. And you need a lot of other people. It's interesting that we don't need as many as you think at first. We think that because we live in a representative republic or representative democracy, sometimes people call it. Anyway, it's representative government where we have elections and issues are often decided by, theoretically at least, by 51% of the people. So we think, well, we've got to reach at least 51% of the people to bring about any constructive change. And then we discover that that's wrong. It's really wrong because after we go back and review some of the history we've read and thought we understood, the most amazing phenomenon rises to the surface. And we realize that throughout history, history has always been written by a very few. In fact, about 1% or less of the population throughout history is all that it takes to change the course of history. It's always written by the very, very few. Those who have an idea, those who have a goal, those who have a mission, usually it's an ideology. It could be a very selfish one in some cases, conquests and so forth. But whoever it is, all you need to do is generate a coordinated action from less than 1% of the population, and you can dominate the other 99%. The other 99% are always looking around to see who's going to win the battle, and whoever it looks like is going to win, then they join who they think the winner is going to be. It's a harsh thing to say about our fellow human beings, but it's generally true. When we look at the American Revolution, for example, it's kind of shocking to realize that less than 1%, far less than 1% of the population were active in the American Revolution. The others were, some of them loyalists, some of them patriots, but a lot of them just not wanting to declare, waiting to see who was going to win. And it's one of those realities that mankind is a herd animal, and he likes to follow leaders. And so once a leadership is established in a small group of people who are dominant and active in making something happen, the others sort of fall into line. Now, I hate that idea, but that's the way it always is. And so we come to the conclusion that you don't need 51% of the population. You need maybe 0.5% of the population, and you can really make things happen. Okay, I'm covering a lot of background here pretty quickly here, but I'm getting eventually to your question. So I created an organization back in 2002, and it was called, it still is called, Freedom Force International. And it's made up of people like us who have given a lot of thought to this issue and literally devoted our lives to it. We do want to make a difference. We do want to beat the tyranny that's growing around the world. But we came to the realization that, hey, there aren't enough of us. Yeah, we're the 1/2 or 1/10 or 1%. But the only way that small group can succeed is if they influence and solicit the support, sometimes the passive support, but always the support of a larger number of people. And going back to the American Revolution, that came to pass too, because they needed soldiers in the field. They needed the farmers to come off of their farms and leave their families and grab their muskets and meet the British at the Bridge of Concord. They needed soldiers in uniform and with ammunition and rifles to cross the Delaware and meet the Hessians there and so forth. And that was, you know, that came from a larger group of people. Now we come to the question here. Why did, what happened and how did this all start? We had a very successful meeting of Freedom Force International. I guess what year was that? That was 2016, I guess, or 15, I guess it wasn't. 2015 in Paso Robles, California. It was very successful because we attracted people who were like we were, the hardcore, the informed, the people who wanted to dedicate their lives to this mission of liberty. And we were very elated by it. And afterwards, we're standing around or sitting around the table thinking, okay, how do we build on this? How do we implement what we call project outreach? How do we reach out to those people who perhaps are not ready to devote their lives to this, but still they're good people and they care about what's happening in the world and what's going to happen to their children and their grandchildren? How do we get them to work with us and make it accessible to those who maybe aren't or don't want to be full-time scholars in all of this thing and not ready to read all the ancient books and all that sort of thing? We need those people too, and they need us. How do we reach out to them? And that's how it started. And I got to thinking of our opponent. Our opponent is, for the sake of our discussion here, let's just call our opponent as a group of organized people, a very small group, far less than 1% of the population, who identify themselves as collectivists. They're people who believe that the best structure for society is for the average person, the small person, to serve the state in the interest of the state, of course, you know, for the greater good of the greater number. But they thought that it's best that they should be the leaders and the people should serve them. But instead of saying serving us, they said serve the greater good of the greater number, and we will tell you what the greater good of the greater number is. So those are the collectivists, and they have formed in some very powerful organizations. In the United States, the most obvious one, if you know about any of this, is the Council on Foreign Relations. And it's a group of about 4,000 people, about 4,400 and some last time I counted. Small group. A lot of churches have larger memberships than that. And yet, when you look at this membership roster of the Council on Foreign Relations, it's amazing because you find that these are the elitists, the people who run the United States and to a large extent dominate the policies of the world as well. That you'll find them presidents of the United States, members of the Senate, congressmen, Supreme Court justices, head of the CIA, head of the State Department, head of the military, head of the universities, owners and operators of the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, CBS, NBC, CBS, all the media communications, all the labor unions, all of the tax-exempt foundations, all of the big movers and shakers that determine policy in America. You look at the top and at the president level, the executive level, or the board of directors, you're going to find that there are members of the Council on Foreign Relations running these organizations. So this is a clue. We always knew that. It was how the few can influence the many. They move into leadership positions of the organizations to which they belong. And so we thought, here's the model. Why don't we try and do something like that? We don't have to borrow their ethics or their goals. Heavens, no, that's what we oppose. But it's a brilliant method of organization. And so I got the idea, why don't we try and see if we can create these rings, these spheres of influence bigger than us, where the participation is not so rigorous, but where it still is high-minded and with the right goals, the right principles in mind. And so we decided to say that, all right, we at the Freedom Force level, let's consider ourselves to be like the Council on Foreign Relations. What do we do now? Is there a larger group that we could create or influence? And we're sitting around talking about that. And I just got the idea, yeah, what we need is something, you know, to awaken people, like give them the red pill. We need a red pill expo. And it was a moment of silence. And we're all looking at each other. Said, what did I say? A red pill expo. We thought about it. And somebody said, yeah, I like that. That's pretty good. We thought about it some more. And finally, I said, yeah, I think I like it too. First thing you know, about 20 minutes went by and we're all getting excited about how do we build a red pill Expo and use the red pill as the theme. Instead of saying, you know, let's fight for liberty and private property and human rights and all these heavy things, let's have a little fun with it. Let's go back to that motion picture, The Matrix. It's now 20 years old this year. And that was where the meme of take the red pill comes from. And why don't we play that theme and have a little fun with it? And meanwhile, we can talk about some very serious things. So we decided to give it a try. And lo and behold, it was very, very successful. We've never had any success like that before. And so we know now that the formula works. Now, that's a very long answer to your question, GR.
Right.
But that's how it came to be.
Okay.
And so we had the first Red Pill Expo in Bozeman, Montana,
right.
Montana, back in, 2017. And it was a smashing success. People came from all around the world. We packed the place. And everybody left there saying, we want more. And so we decided, okay, we're going to have another one next year. And then we decided that, well, why wait from one year to the next and let everything die in between? Why don't we build something to bridge that yearly event? And we'll keep it going here every day of the year, and we'll call that Red Pill University. And so that's on the drawing boards, too, although most people don't know much about it yet.
Right.
This year we are unleashing that. And so the Red Pill University and the Red Pill Expo are an outgrowth of our desire to reach out to a larger number of people and let them know that they're not alone. People think that the world has gone crazy because they turn on their TV sets and all they see is the video and the newscast reporting all these weird, violent groups. And the tendency is to say that, my gosh, the world is coming apart. What we don't realize is that most of that, almost all of that, is theater. It's not real. It's very small numbers of people. I mean, a couple of thousand people looks big on television, but when you compare it to the rest of the world, it's nothing. And we come to realize that a lot of these demonstrators and violent people are hired. They're on the payroll. They're being paid by people to do exactly what they do. They're not doing it because they want to accomplish a political or social objective, even though they say that's what they're doing. If you took away their paycheck, they wouldn't be out there.
Right.
And people don't realize that we're looking at theater. So anyway, all of this is that we need to counter that with a real movement and a coalition among people of many beliefs, many cultures, many nations, all of whom may disagree on many things, but who do agree that this basic common denominator to all of their problems is to get totalitarian governments off of their back so they can go back to leading normal lives and have freedom of choice in what they want to do with their lives.
Right. And so if I could, one of the things I noticed about last year, because I met you last year there, and it wasn't just about government. The Red Pill Expo actually had a very I'll use the word diverse without trying to be politically correct, but the Red Pill Expo offered information and insights regarding medication, regarding finance, regarding a lot of different things. And I noticed you've got some of those same categories filled this coming year. And so it's obviously 3 days packed with a very broad amount of information that I think is really critical, because most people are being fed propaganda regarding these types of things, what to do with your money, trust the pharmaceutical industry, so forth and so on, Agenda 21. And so what I noticed in last year's Red Pill Expo, it wasn't just focused on government and just like Agenda 21 and those types of things. It was far more broader in scope. And so I'm presuming that you're doing that exact same thing. So what are your plans for this coming Red Pill Expo up in Hartford?
Well, you're quite right. That is exactly what we're doing, because our lives are affected by politics, to be sure. But there's a lot else going on out there. Our health is extremely important. The culture in which we live, the values which we accept, the judicial system, everything, especially the morality of a culture, is extremely important. But our health, you mentioned exactly, and the economy. For example, I'm looking at some of the highlights of the speakers that we've got set for June. And the first thing here at the top of the list is going to be a two-hour presentation put on by Robert Kiyosaki and myself together. We're joining forces for this. Now, Robert Kiyosaki is the very famous author of the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That book has sold more more books in the millions of copies than any other book on investments, and especially looking at real estate. What is wealth? What is money? How do you become independent and so forth? So he and I are going to put a program on, and we're going to present, this is the title for it, a high school course on money they don't teach in high school. Okay. And we're going to have fun with that one. And it's a very serious course, by the way.
Right, right.
Yeah, later on, Kiyosaki is going to make another presentation, and he'll be talking about, his title is Everything is Fake. And I'll be talking about this thing called private property. And, of course, Del Bigtree will be there. He's the producer of the globally acclaimed movie called Vaxxed. It's all about vaccines.
Right, right.
And the corruption in that field.
Yep.
And the title of his presentation is The Truth About Vaccines is Worse Than We Thought.
Right.
He's got some new information on that, and it really is horrible. And then here's a new fellow I was so happy to hear about, and I'm just meeting him for the first time in our venture. He's Dr. Zach Bush. Now, he comes from the Orthodox medical community. He's one of the very few triple board certified physicians. I mean, he's really comes from orthodoxy, and he's broken away pretty much with the pharmaceutical concept of health. And his title is most interesting. Here it is. It's 99% of you is non-human, and you better be nice to it. Well, it turns out I listened to his lectures on YouTube, and he's talking about the biofilm, the bionome. Actually, he's right. Most of our bodies are made up of little bug-type things and viral-type components that are really not unique to the human species, but you find it in all species, in all kinds of life. Hmm. It's not human at all. The part that's uniquely human is a very small part of our bodies. I didn't know that. And, of course, he'll be talking about, we better take care of more than just nutrition. We got it. I mean, for our human cells, but there's a lot of non-human cells too. And both, by the way, most of those are considered as bacteria, and it's good bacteria,
right?
And so that has amazing implication. You know, you go on into a grocery store, or go on a boat, a luxury liner, and they're standing there with an antibiotic spray to wash your hands. Everything is antibiotic soap, antibiotic this. And we don't realize, oh, this sounds so good. We're getting rid of those antibiotics. Heck, that stuff goes through our skin, goes into our body, kills the good antibiotics as well as the bad, and we're setting ourselves up for serious illness. So that's what Dr. Bush is saying. You better be nice to it.
Right.
And then we got Michael Rechtenwald. He's a former professor at New York University. And he comes from the left at one time. And he taught students social justice. He was one of these guys that we get so angry at when we see them on television. But he had an awakening. A thing happened in his life. He realized that he was on the wrong side. And he'll be there, and he'll say how to turn students into snowflakes. And that's what he was doing. He has a book called Sunshine Snowflakes or something like that. Oh, here's a guy, Mark Robinson. He's a black fellow whose viral video went out last year. He stood before a city council in, North Carolina, Greenboro, North Carolina. And he stood up and he says, he's talking to the city council, says, when are you people going to start representing the majority? He says, I am the majority. I am a law-abiding citizen. And I have a constitutional right to have a gun to protect myself and my family. Mm-hmm. And you people here, you listen to all these crazies come up here and tell you why they want to take away my gun and my right to protect myself and make me vulnerable to all the criminals out there who are not going to turn in their guns. They're going to have guns. They're not going to follow your silly laws. And why don't you listen to the majority? I am the majority, he says. And
right.
That's a powerful thing. He'll be there. I really want to meet Mark Robinson very much. Richard Gage is a return speaker. He's the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Right.
And he'll be presenting some new information, and the title of his presentation is The Official Version of 9/11 is a Conspiracy Theory. Duke Pesta, he's a tenured professor at the University of Wisconsin, and he'll present if you love your kids, don't send them to college.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And finally, a big part of the event, Jared, and I'll conclude with this, is most urgent topic, I think, is 5G technology. And it'll be covered in a showing of the documentary film called 5G Apocalypse. And an expert who we haven't quite picked yet on 5G technology, he'll be announced. But the title of that presentation is A Weapon of Mass Destruction Outside Your Window. And so that gives you a flavor.
Oh, sure.
28 faculty members all together.
Okay. Well, I already had Orlean Kolk. I don't know if you know who she is. She's the president of the California Eagles Forum.
Yes.
She just released a book on 5G, and we did an interview with her. Fascinating stuff. And as a matter of fact, we're already cooking ourselves with 4G technology, smart meters and everything else. And the 5G is just going to, I think, sizzle the outside. Anyway, I've got about a minute and a half left. I have a lot of things going on in my life personally, but I would have loved to have approached you about coming up, and I still haven't really had time to tell you because I know you're just really busy, and I've been keeping Dan Happel informed, but we're having great success in Wyoming, and we're actually getting some seeds planted in a couple of other states, Utah, Idaho, Montana. And there's a good likelihood that 2020 election may be a very big, significant event to where the term Republic Review will become a household name, possibly, or at least people will start talking about it because people are talking about it in Wyoming and they're starting to talk about it in these other states I mentioned. But I cannot commit. There's no way I can do that. And I've explained to you yesterday regarding some things that are going on personally. So I wish you the best. And I completely support this awakening and trying to get, I look at it as marketing. And my 15 seconds on it is, if you keep showing the people, you know, just the reality of how bad things really are, then it makes it easier for them or easier to convince them that it's time to stand up. And now's the time to take that stand. And so thank you so much for coming on and thank you for what you do. And again, even thank you for your friendship. And I'm looking forward to hearing some good successes. And what I'll try to do is I'll try to touch base with you either right before or right after to see how everything went. Is that fair?
Well that's more than fair, JR. Let me add to this. You and are not alone because you and many others, of course, cannot travel to Hartford. That's a long trip for many people. And that's why we've gone to great lengths to make sure that this whole presentation is recorded. And it will be available at a very low cost. In fact, it's free, absolutely free to look at after the event if anybody is a member of Freedom Force, Red Pill University. So if you want to see this presentation, it won't cost you anything except tuition, a small tuition to get into university. So if the event is of interest to you, and I hope it is of interest to everybody, go look it up on redpilluniversity.org, and you'll see how to do that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And folks, we're going to be going right into a break, so hold on for a quick second, and we'll be right back after this. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And I told you that, you know, these Red Pill Expos are far more than just Republican. It's far more than just politics. It is giving you the full breadth of how the world's globalist, secular, progressive agenda has got its tentacles into all sorts of things. So please, please, for your own benefit, start getting active and involved in these types of things. And this is a great way to learn how bad the situation really is. Now, let me get back to this rant on Pelosi with the Logan Act. What I am asking you to do is I'm asking you to please reach out to Trump. Send him an email. Send him, go to whitehouse.gov, do the contact. They have a direct email. He actually reads these things. And I know when I barrage him with constitutional stuff, you know, somebody's eyes are glazing over and what have you. And there's probably some filtering, but I do believe that these things do get through. And I believe that if everybody sent an email and a message to him, tweeted to him or what have you, to please ask him to enforce the Logan Act and have Pelosi arrested. The Logan Act was enacted January 30th, 1799, and it is federal law that criminalizes the negotiation by unauthorized persons with a foreign government having a dispute with the United States. When we talk about dispute, in other words, they're in trade relations or what have you. It's not like here's a country over here that we have no relationships with all. We have like a trade war going on with the EU, and she's over there undermining his positions. And so there is 100% chance that she could actually be arrested. She could be tried, convicted against the Logan Act, and will just apply Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and ban her butt, what's left of her life, from public service. And we need to start doing this with all of these people that are doing that, as well as the Obamas. Obamas have no business, Clintons have no business traveling around talking about trades and foreign policies. It is a violation of the Logan Act, okay? So get involved. The Logan Act was basically a response to a Philadelphia Quaker named George Logan, who went out to try to directly engage with the French government. This was a huge scandal back in 1799 because he was actually a Republican supporting the Jeffersonian principles and was trying to create a friendly relationship. You got to understand that we actually had a friendly relationship with France because they were giving us money and we owed them money. And so there were these Federalists that actually looked at France and they were going down this collectivist side. The Federalists, if you understand the ideology of the Federalists in 1799, it was not the same as Madison in 1788, who was a Federalist. The Federalist Party that started evolving from 1788 became a party of elitists. It became a party of aristocracy. It became a party of no good. Please, I beg you, read up on this law, the Logan Act of 1799. And like I was saying, there is some irony in this whole fact that the collectivists have created this law. These people were in support of centralizing all power in the federal government, and they wanted to create a very powerful federal government when the Constitution doesn't allow that. The Constitution keeps the federal government from being able to centralize all of these powers on its own. So where is the irony? Well, here's a law that the collectivists created in 1799 that we can use to spank the collectivists today. Because you got to understand that these people were trying to protect their agenda in moving forward. Now we can protect Trump's agenda and we can protect America by enforcing this law and keeping these progressives from being able to go and say, hey, you know, he's only going to be president for two more years. So hold out, wait till we get, because we own our elections. We're going to steal the election. We're going to take over again. And this is what we're going to do. That is 100% undermining. And you know, those are the conversations that are going on because you know, they are stealing our elections. They're committing voter fraud as well as election fraud. And so they're out there telling people, remember what Obama said, you know, once we get past the election, I'll have a lot more latitude. And that's how it is. And that's how we have to sell. That's how they have to sell it. Because until the next election, they need to give us a little more time. Let us work these things out. Excuse me. I'm just begging you. Send them a tweet. Send the White House a message to enforce the Logan Act. I would love to see Pelosi, when she lands back on American soil, doing the perp walk off of that airplane straight into a federal, you know, van for criminals and send her off to jail. And that way she can be processed and the Department of Justice can go. Why is it that Trump's Department of Justice is not enforcing these things? This is what really scares me. But maybe if everybody starts actually calling these things out, maybe we can tie Trump's hands into actually enforcing the law. I hope that he feels that way. But there's these reservations that I have that he's not going to put away these corrupt, evil people. Now, let me, if you haven't heard, this is just a side note because I don't have a lot of time. So if you haven't heard, Ivanka Trump was in an interview with the Associated Press, and she mentioned that he had offered her the World Bank position to become the chief of the World Bank. And that probably wouldn't have been a bad thing, but I'm just not convinced that the Trumps are actually trying to work us into autonomy from the globalist agenda. If you look at the United States, Mexican, Canada treaty, this new treaty, I'm telling you, it is not a treaty that is designed for American autonomy. It sells us down river worse than NAFTA did. And so there's these realistic conflicts that I'm seeing on some of the stuff that they're doing and other stuff that they're doing. We need to be more vocal in getting them to actually start, you know, like the Logan Act and so forth. But here's the thing, and this isn't an anti-Trump approach or anti-American government type of approach, but I believe that we need to step away from this concept of nepotism. I believe that we need to actually erect barriers to make it hard for a family member to just be able to jump into an election just because, you know, their daddy or what have you was the president of the United States or so forth. And again, like I said, this is not about being anti-Trump. This is about being anti-Obama because he has two daughters that probably would be sashayed right up into, you know, high positions when they don't deserve it. This is about nepotism. If you understand, there is no concept in American values that somebody's bloodline is better than yours. This is about anti-Clinton. This is about anti-McClain or McCain. I am anti-Clinton. I am anti-Obamas. I do not want to see another Obama, you know, sitting in a position of public service. I don't want to see another McCain. We need to create these barriers because these are the elitist, political elitists in our midst. This is about being anti the progressive agenda. So we also need to start learning how to identify true leaders that are going to break the agenda that we're being fed and actually take us in the direction that the framers put us on. And so we need to start learning how to identify these leaders and make them our public servants instead of allowing these elitists to continue, like kings, to continually hold us in as hostages and throw us to the lions when it's time. Because many a times they have been doing that. The whole fact of OPEC back in the 60s and 70s when OPEC formed, are you kidding me? We actually have laws against dealing with cartels like that. Why is it that we allowed ourselves to be strangled by this? Anyway, I want to tell you this, and we're going to lead this off tomorrow. The Gallup poll group came out with some new information, and this is headlines, and I don't understand why anybody else isn't going to be talking about this, but here's the whole point. This poll proves my point of the effectiveness of our education system, because this new Gallup poll indicated that church membership in the U.S. had plummeted over the past 20 years. The percentage of U.S. adults who belong to a church or other religious institution has plunged by 20%, and it is now down to 50%. This poll is showing that that's where the membership is as of last year. I believe that this has been an exponential curve, that as they keep on pumping more and more kids into our electoral process, you're going to find that it's increasing even more and more, especially as those of us with patriotic and liberty-minded ideas and ideologies die off. We're seeing a big shift. And so America is hitting a new low, is what I've been saying, because we have been debased and the debasement is getting worse and worse with these sexual orientation and gender identity dysphoria and so forth. Among the major demographic groups that were in this, that were part of losing their religion, were the Democrats. Are you surprised? And so who are the Democrats? Well, I'm going to answer that question for you tomorrow. And that way we'll put it into context as the real dangers we're facing. And it's coming from our education system and so forth and our government. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.